A Year of Big Books by Danielle Kardhauser, read by the author, in association with www.keepcalmreadonblog.com. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fine reader friends. Finally, I am here to bring you Chapter 2 of the project A Year of Big Books. Today, I will be talking about the book Carry On by Rainbow Rowell. Carry On is the second book I read this year at the second half of January. Having started off a tad bit late, I thought this being a YA book would make it a bit of a fast read. But between life and, well, life, I finished a few days into February, which was not good. My experience reading this book can be described as slow, 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 hurry up and read 200 pages in one night. My copy of the book is the original hardcover. On the front is the silhouetted images of the main characters Simon Snow and Baz Pitch. By the closeness of their faces, it is an obvious reference to the romance that is in the book. The book is 517 pages. Being that I am on a tight reading schedule, I'm left with little amount of room to transition between each book I read. Going from the extremely detailed and quite literary and vulgar Cider House Rules, with the super long chapters, to the sugary fanfiction YA novel with short chapters that is Carry On, was a curse in disguise. Usually I welcome the novel with short chapters. My experience has taught me that short chapters always keep me wanting more, which means I continue reading for longer periods of time and therefore read more in a sitting. But that all flew out the window when I started A Year of Big Books. If you've been following this project, you will know that I post chapter by chapter blogs. These force me to take notes while reading, an activity I hardly ever participate in. With Cider House Rules, this was a tad bit annoying, but this was mostly due to the fact that I was taking notes on my phone, which I hate doing. Carry On turned out to be a different beast altogether. Since the chapters were shorter and there were so many, my note-taking made the read even slower for me. I became so frustrated with my pace that I actually considered giving up on my chapter-by-chapter blogs. I just felt I was spending way too much time note-taking. Of course, after I made the decision to stop doing these blogs, I immediately regretted my choice, and found that note-taking helped prepare me for writing these podcast chapters and overall made me a more active reader. So I stuck it out, and switched to handwriting notes, which is so much easier. Whether I will continue with this, we will see. So now with that out of the way, let's talk about the history of this book. In 2013, author Rainbow Rowell published her second young adult novel titled Fangirl. The book follows a character named Kath, who writes fanfiction about a book series based around a magician named Simon Snow. The book was written at a time when fanfiction was getting a lot of heat for being trash and was not a respected medium. To be fair, that is not an unfair assessment, but Rowell's book poses the idea that fanfiction is important and worthy of our time. The Simon Snow books are an obvious ripoff of the Harry Potter books. I'm assuming this was done for copyright reasons, but after all, Harry Potter fanfiction is among the largest on the internet. Many characters and situations presented in the Simon Snow books and Kath's fanfiction clearly are mirroring ideas presented in Potter. Critical and fan reception to the book were both positive. In 2015, Rowell released Carry On, the fan fiction Kath wrote in Fangirl. Meta, right? I read Fangirl this past summer. Let me get this off my chest and pray to God no one kills me. I'm not the biggest Rainbow Rowell fan. I'm not a hater, by any means. I think her understanding of youth culture is on point and she does a good job capturing character voice. But I find, like many YA novelists, her writing isn't anything special and her characters tend to all look the same. I'm not the biggest YA fan, but I'm not a hater on that count either. I know there is a movement against people hating YA, and while it is a cause I can get behind, you have to admit there are a crap load of shitty YA novels. Like, really bad. Again, not a hater, I love Laurie House Anderson and The Wanderer by Sharon Creech and Bridge to Terabithia and Series of Unfortunate Events and more. Most YA books, from my experience, do not reach the levels that those books do. And again, it's sort of like fan fiction. If you enjoy it, then that's awesome. But for me personally, I find that a lot of books can do better. And therefore, I tend to stay away from YA. And I know I sound like a snob when I say that, and that is a perfectly reasonable observation. Getting back to Carry On, the novel follows a character named Simon Snow during his eighth and final year at the magical school, Watford. The book has themes of homosexuality, class tensions, and magic. And I think I'm going to leave it at that, so let's jump into my three likes of the book. Like number one, repairing the sins of the uncle. As mentioned earlier, this book is a clear ripoff of the Harry Potter books. The choice was intentional. Over the years, while Harry Potter is practically adored by everyone, there still exists some naysayers who pick out legitimate flaws in the books. There is a term in the Bible known as sins of the father, when the sins of one generation pass down to another. Being that Carry On is not a direct descendant of Potter, I viewed Potter as an uncle to Carry On. It is a clear influence on the text, but it is not defined by it. Many instances of Carry On fixing the sins of the uncle were not necessarily jabs at Potter, but just a refreshing take that is a necessity in today's YA fiction. Here are a few examples. Carry On makes a ton of pop culture references. In literary terms, this does the book zero favors. However, looking at it in context of repairing the sins of the uncle, it actually makes a lot of sense. In Harry Potter, the only real mention of pop culture is an England football team mentioned by Dean Thomas and some video game systems owned by Dudley Dursley. That is it. I think Rowling got away with this by saying that Harry was always shut up in his room with no entertainment, but seriously, Harry looks over the newspaper every day in Order of the Phoenix. And just say that Harry is too preoccupied with Voldemort. What about Hermione? She never makes references to the Muggle world, unless you count dentistry as a reference to pop culture. Carry On references McDonald's and Pokemon and careers and religion and Star Wars. Magical folks come off as less Amish in the book. Another fix? No character is a clear villain. This is not in reference to Voldemort, but rather Slytherins as a whole. While there are a few points where Rowling subtly gives a Slytherin a redeeming quality, the text does not support the idea that a Slytherin can be good, except with Snape, who, let's be honest, isn't really good when it comes down to it. Carry On repairs this sin with the character of Baz, a clear Slytherin and a Draco Malfoy equivalent, who is a bad boy by all appearances, but is actually just another side of good. In a way, he also reminds me of a young Tom Riddle. I can't go on naming every single sin of the uncle, so I will just list a few others before moving on. The kids talk more like kids, meaning we get actual frequent swearing. There isn't this assumption that you must remain magical. In fact, lots of people stop using magic when they leave Watford. There's also a wider sense of career options. Like in Potter, it is either the ministry, the bank, or Hogwarts. Kinda limited. The root of spells is mentioned. Kids at Watford study languages for better spellcasting, which is awesome. And the adults take the safety of their children a lot more seriously in Carry On. Main characters more than once fear they won't return to Watford because their parents or adult role model fear for their safety. Only off-screen parents slash guardians care about the safety of their kids by pulling them out of Hogwarts or threaten to pull them out. Like number two, political awareness. This sort of counts as fixing the sin of the uncle, but I gave it its own like because it is much more than that. For starters, how Potter handled politics is not a drawback to the books whatsoever. It actually elevates them. Rowling used the various characters and issues in her world to shed light on the real world. That was fine in the late 90s, but now in 2017, we understand political issues by using a completely different language. Rowl addressed issues such as diversity, global warming, homosexuality, and feminism in a way that simply was integrated into the world with ease and not something to be overcome as in Potter. Again, Rowl is clearly taking what we know from Potter and taking it to the next level. So Potter was step one, Carry On is step two. Like number three, the ending. The ending of this book was, in my opinion, the strongest point of the book. Execution-wise, it was just okay, but content-wise, it was awesome. The book built up all of the info that the characters and readers needed, so that when Simon realized what he had to do, so did the reader. That is an awesome accomplishment. This is an example of a reveal done right, and can be compared to something like The Sixth Sense. Now, there will be spoilers here, so if you wish to remain unspoiled, stop listening and refer to the show notes to see where spoilers end. Realizing Simon's energy, or power, was creating the humdrum, and that Simon had to release that power into the humdrum to destroy it was awesome. But what was even more powerful was the consequences of Simon's actions. He has no more magic. He is a normal. That is such a nice and tragic way to end our story. It tells readers that yes, while good overcame something bad, we are not left unscarred. I also really liked how comfortable every character was in the epilogue, particularly Agatha, a character I never quite got behind until her final chapter. Now that I have named my three likes, let's get into the topic of this chapter. Today's topic asks the question, is fanfiction and art worthy of our study? This question is actually a lot harder to answer than one may think. I have to refer back to John Green's quote, "Books belong to their readers." That is the ultimate answer, but I'm going to go ahead and flesh it out a bit more in my opinion of the matter. My gut wants to automatically say no, honestly, but my heart also says give it a chance. I think the best way to begin answering this question is to define Carry On. Is it fanfiction or standalone work? Well, it is somewhere in between. Although it is a clear reference to Harry Potter, it takes on many new challenges and themes, and therefore sets itself on a different level. Therefore, while it does take on some characteristics, I do feel that Carry On is not fanfiction. Rather, I think it is a book paying homage to fanfiction and the writers of fanfiction. The book shows that fanfiction writers have a lot to say and to contribute, that fanfiction writers are using fiction as a tool to understand themselves. However, as someone who takes literature very seriously, I want to hold fanfiction accountable to other works of fiction, and quite frankly, it usually doesn't stand very tall. Again, don't kill me for saying that. I just find fanfiction to be a little sloppy and lacking in any structure or literary creativity. Fanfiction, in my experience, is more 50 Shades of Grey rather than Carry On. That being said, I have come across some good fanfiction, and even have tried to write it myself, so I can't be too harsh on it. But again, I reference John Green's quote, "Books belong to their readers." If you like fanfiction, read fanfiction. My hope, though, is that when you read fanfiction, it will inspire you to read more fiction in general, and as you read, you'll start finding better books in terms of literary quality. And with that, let's move on to my dislikes. It was a very short discussion. Dislike number one, too many short and pointless chapters. At many points in this book, it did not seem to have a firm grasp on what it wanted to accomplish. There was the basic plot, and then a whole mess of unnecessary side plots. Specifically, I am talking about the short Lucy chapters and the Agatha chapters. Agatha's conclusion was awesome, but it did not make up for the fact that almost all of her chapters took me out of the plot and felt pointless. Lucy's chapters were way too short and cryptic in the beginning, and although they got better, they still didn't amount to anything. If you had taken out the Lucy chapters and replaced some of them with the Madge's perspective, reflecting on the past, nothing would have changed. This is especially because Simon never actually learns the information the reader is told in the Lucy chapters. I also have to point out the multiple point of view chapters, where the perspectives kept switching back and forth for just one sentence. That was just sloppy. It also undermined the structure that had already been set up by the book for, like, over half the novel. The entire novel was basically, each chapter is a point of view. And then all of a sudden, it switched. And it didn't benefit the book, it actually hindered it, and it was very frustrating. Dislike number two, not enough time was spent with important characters. By the end of the book, it is clear what characters are suddenly important. Take Eb for example. We hardly spent any time with her in the book, and then suddenly by the end we are supposed to care about her. The same can be said for the Madge. We hardly spent any time with him, and suddenly he comes back for the grand finale. Again, it was just sloppy. And dislike number three, Baz and Simon's first kiss. It pains me to put this scene on the dislike list because the relationship between Simon and Baz is actually well done and a strong point of this book, but the first kiss scene was just dumb. It was a scene built up for over half the book but then ended up being a cheesy mess. Spoilers ahead. Once again, please reference the show notes to see when spoilers are over. So while I think the scene had good intentions, I think what ultimately killed it for me was how forced it was. Up until this point, Baz and Simon were growing closer, and that was awesome. I think the scene would have been perfect had it taken place directly after the fire that Baz started, but instead, Raoul took the soap opera route and had them make out with flames threatening to engulf them. What is this, Titanic? Pirates of the Caribbean 3? I mean, geez, I thought we were past this stupidity. I couldn't take the scene seriously, and this is one reason I don't like YA fiction, because this seems to happen quite a lot. Carry On seemed to be overcoming these stupid YA tropes, and then it sort of fit right into them, and that was incredibly annoying. I couldn't take the scene seriously. I think it would have benefited greatly by having the kiss arrive after the fire instead of during. Now for my final thoughts. I found Carry On to be a cool take on fan fiction and a refreshing look at the schoolboy magic novel. Although it had a tedious nature for the most part, the book did a good job pacing and had a lot of great moments worthy of applause. Overall, I think the book gets 3 out of 5 stars from me. So every chapter I like to give myself advice for the rest of this challenge, and here's my advice going forward. Don't stress so much with note-taking. It helps, don't get me wrong, note-taking is great, but you don't want to become overwhelmed. This project, while supposed to be challenging, is also supposed to be fun. And you have to remember that in the end, it is sort of something that while you want to do it, you have other responsibilities in life. So just try your best to keep this a fun challenge while also keeping perspective of your life and moving out, you know? And with that, I will bring this chapter to a close. So if you want to learn more about this project or me in general, check out all the links in the description, they are all there. The main hub for this project is ayearofbigbooksblog.wordpress.com. Every single episode, an update, and blog can be found on this website. If you want to check me out and check out all my projects, check out keepcalmreadonblog.com. Lots of changes are coming to this project and my little blog hub in general, Keep Calm and Read On, so be sure to pay attention to that. I'm really excited about the changes, and I'm really excited for all the books I'm going to be reading for the rest of the year. Now, if you can excuse me, my cat desperately wants to cuddle with me. Like, really desperately. Come here. Aww. Wanna smell the microphone?